The Paramount Visual Arts Center in downtown St. Cloud is host to a number of classes and programs available to the public. And today I'm sitting down with Visual Arts Director from the Paramount, Melissa Goman, to talk about all they've got going on. Welcome to KVSC, Melissa.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
And we are talking about the Paramount Visual Arts Center. It is in the basement of the Paramount Theater. And, well, how long has the Visual Arts Center been around, and what kind of evolutionary process has it been through over the years?
The Visual Arts Center was added to the Paramount when we did the renovation, completed in 1998. We started with a very minor program, just a few classes here and there, and over the years it's evolved, and we've grown in the number of classes we offer and the variety.
Speaking of classes, the different classes, there are a variety of artistic media represented within the classes, the class structure. And also there is the teen night and open studio. So can you tell us a little bit about, well, let's see, the teen night and open studio, that's a weekly thing, but then the classes are somewhat sporadic, I guess I should say.
Well, more structured. There are opportunities for all ages to be involved. We have kids opportunities, artivities that we call them, during MEA and during the typical breaks that young students have from elementary and middle school. And then we have an open studio and teen night program that runs every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. It's $3 for 18 and under, and 19 and older is $8. They can come in and work with a mentor in the different studios. So if they want to try the potter's wheel, for example, they can come in, and we have mentors in the room that can help them try it out and just experience the wheel or hand building in the ceramic studio. We have fused glass, so they can make jewelry or tiles. That's a little more advanced, but they can work up to tiles. We have a dark room, black and white photography, and then painting and drawing that night as well. And the nice thing that's happening with that program is that all ages are coming. It's a teen night program. That's how it started, and that is kind of the core of it. But it's open to all ages now, and we're getting grandparents that are coming with their teenage grandparents, daughters and sons, and then aunts and uncles are coming. Big brothers, big sisters have been coming. It's a nice way for people to kind of come and do a casual arts experience and not commit to a long class, or just try it out and see if maybe they like the mediums.
Yeah, it seems like something nice to do with a kid.
Yeah, it's hard to find things to do with youth sometimes.
Yeah, I know, you get this short list of things. There's only so many movies you could go to, or restaurants in town. It's like, well, what else do we do? So,
yeah,
come down and make some art. That's pretty neat. So that's every Thursday downstairs at the Paramount. And, well, how about the different classes that are being offered? Everything that is available during the teen night, there are more structured classes available at different times. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those?
Well, we've got a intro to the pottery wheel class. Denny Hummel taught at Apollo High School for 30-some years, and he's now teaching for us. And Lisa Carlson, who got her master's degree in ceramics here at SCSU, she teaches for us in studio. So there's the introduction to the potter's wheel, where for people who have never done it before that just want to come and play with the medium, it's just dirt. You can't do it incorrectly. And I think that's one of the things that we stress, is that art can be a lot of fun if you don't go into it thinking that you're going to create a masterpiece immediately. It's kind of like picking up an instrument. You have to practice, and you have to get to know the medium before you can get really good at it. And so that's what we stress, is to come and try the mediums and to get to know clay and paint and drawing. And so the introduction to pottery class is just that. It's an intro. We don't expect anybody to be really good at it. It's just fun. It's just a fun hobby to try and pick up or to explore. And then for people who are really getting more serious about it and more interested in it. We have a continued wheel thrown pottery class for those who want to take it a little more seriously. And then we also have a crystalline glazes and wood-fired ceramics class offered by J.D. Jorgensen from J.D. Jorgensen Pottery out in St. Joe. And he's a tremendous asset to our community. He was an apprentice out at Richard Bresnahan's, and he's set up a professional studio here in the area in St. Joe. And so he's teaching these specialty classes. And the wood-fired ceramics, I just went out last week and helped him fire his kiln and took a shift. And it's a magic process of just stoking the kiln and putting in wood every 2 to 3 minutes and bringing this huge kiln up to 2,400 degrees. It's a really great process, and it's a unique experience for people to get involved with the wood-fired ceramics class.
Nice. Yeah, he's part of the Avon Area Arts. I remember being out there and chatting with him once, and it's pretty neat environment out there. So
it
nice
is.
To have him coming into town, basically,
mm-hmm.
to teach some pottery.
But then the students in that class will be able to put pots in his wood kiln and participate in the firing. For people that aren't comfortable with the potter's wheel, we have hand building classes, and it's a really easy process. Anybody can do it. You don't need any skill or talent. It's just like playing with Play-Doh, really. And a lot of the tools that we use in the hand building process are very much like the Play-Doh Fun Factory. And it's just with clay, and we fire it, and it's permanent. But people can make amazing, beautiful, hand-built functional pieces, and also sculpture. Ann Meyer, who was an apprentice out at Richard Bresnahan's as well, she's my studio manager, and she's going to be teaching tile making and sculpture. And it's a great opportunity to learn some skills from just an amazing and talented artist in our community. And then we also have fused glass classes that you can do jewelry and different tiles and window hangings and stained glass.
Stained glass is quite the beautiful artwork. You know, I used to do that when I was a child with my folks. They mm-hmm. did this. And, you know, just you put something up in the window, the sun comes through it, and it just it's like sculpting with light. You know, isn't that?
Yeah.
That's really cool how that works. So
it's nice, too, that people can come and make things for their home, and it's art that you live with on a daily basis. You know, it's kind of fun to turn your home into living art almost.
Yeah, very much.
We have precious metal clay classes. This is kind of a new medium that's out there, and it's taking silver dust that is an extract and kind of a waste product of industry, and they take the silver dust and they suspend it in clay in a binder, and then you bake the clay. This PMC, precious metal clay, you bake it and you burn away all of the organic compounds, and you're left with 99% pure silver. But it can be played with and manipulated just like clay. And it's wonderful. Anybody can do it. They, you can turn it into a watery slip and paint it onto leaves, or I'm going to paint it onto a beetle and make a ring out of it. You know, you can do just about anything with it. I have acorns on branches that have been painted with that PMC clay and then burned away. You can use stamps to make pendants. You can do anything with it. It's amazing, and it's a new technology that is kind of replacing the lost wax techniques that were used in the past.
Nice, nice. Yeah, a new innovation in art.
Yeah.
Let's visit some of the, I guess you could say, more traditional things when people think about art, you know, painting and drawing. You've got mm-hmm. those kind of classes coming up as well. And who might be teaching those?
Well, we've got an introduction to watercolor and pastel painting with John Heckman, who's a local artist. He's combining watercolors and pastels, which it's a really unique multimedia kind of class. Then we have a really traditional watercolor basics class with Ellie Van Deest, who is a local artist that has been in the scene and part of the Central Minnesota Watercolorist Group for a long time. Mickey Cunningham, who teaches out at St. Ben's and is primarily, she teaches art history, but she is a really traditional painter. She's doing a mixed media art class coming up this spring. But this fall, we've got Bela Patheo. He is a local, he's just a treasure that we have in the community. He retired from St. John's University. He taught there for many years. And he's a European-trained painter, and he's really quite famous locally, but also nationally. And he's just a lot of fun to take classes with. And he's going to be teaching a still life class and then portrait painting class. And he's really been teaching a lot of the other local artists around here his techniques. And I think he will probably, he's got many books written about him. And he's quite an honor to have teaching with us.
Nice. Quite the asset to the community, I guess you could say.
He is. He really is.
Who we have living here and teaching here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just did a large triptych for the university here. So that's being completed and framed now and will be installed soon.
Nice. And for more information about all of this, you know, the exact dates and times of some of these classes, they are, you know, kind of sporadic here throughout the week. I mean, we've got some Wednesday classes, we've got some Saturday classes, and you can find all this at www.paramountarts.org. The whole listing, I would imagine, is up online. And then you've got some brochures that are sitting around as well that you know, mm-hmm. brought in. And definitely if you stop in at the Paramount Theater downtown, you can pick one of those up. And a lot of different ways to just get involved with something that you might be interested in. And, yeah. you know, yeah, the drawing class is coming up as well. What do we got coming up with that?
Yeah. Well, the basis of all forms of artwork is drawing. And most people think that you either have it or you don't. I don't agree with that. I think drawing is something that everybody can and maybe should learn. And so we have a intro to basic drawing class with Heather Allen and then a portrait drawing class with Heather Allen as well coming up this fall. And then calligraphy is, you know, the art of calligraphy is amazing. Just a beautiful art form that is kind of a lot of people don't handwrite as much anymore, and so the calligraphy, the skill of calligraphy, is a unique class to be able to take, and a unique skill that a lot of people are losing is that beauty of handwriting.
Yeah, I've heard that some of the schools are no longer teaching cursive writing,
mm-hmm.
and just everybody relies so much on you know the computer and the different graphic designs and everything that, yeah, that actual putting pen to paper and making something look neat.
Yeah.
Get back into that. I don't mm-hmm. know. Well, speaking about pen to paper, I see we've got fiber and book arts as well.
Yes.
What can you tell us about that?
Jerry Olson McCoy is a local weaver that has been teaching with us. She teaches beginning weaving, weaving sampler, transparency weave, and a California rag weave class. And she's just an amazing teacher. She's so nice and just really like you'd expect of a weaver. She's very calm and just very helpful. And so we've got the looms. When SCSU eliminated their weaving program here, a lot of their looms came to the Paramount. And so we've got several 8-harness and 4-harness looms to learn how to do the weaving projects on. That's been pretty popular. Then we also have bookmaking, and that's with Heidi Stedman. We're offering that twice, once coming up here this November and then again in February. And that's how to make books and journals, and that's kind of a neat class in that the homemade books become a piece of art in themselves, a usable and functional piece of artwork, and it's one of my favorite gifts to give people. Are those handmade books?
Oh, I'd agree. I've actually gotten a few handmade books, and mm-hmm. I encourage journaling. not only if I'm teaching a class where people are writing, but just in general, you know, you write stuff down and then later you come back and revisit that and
yeah.
you know, you're amazed at, well, what is your past? How do we remember our past aside from looking up old emails?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Why don't we write stuff down and then you can revisit that way? So, yeah, making a book to give to somebody, I think that's a pretty cool thing to do.
Yeah, so, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so the classes, these art classes down at the Paramount Visual Arts Center, they're classes for the experienced artist and also the beginner. And, you know, with the beginner, you don't want to come into a class thinking about, I need to make good art. You just come in and learn how to play with the material, and mm-hmm. then the good art happens on its own.
Exactly, exactly. I think people get too stifled and afraid to even try making art or playing with mediums, and it stops them from entering into it and even attempting it or trying it to even experience it. And so one of the things that I have always firmly believed in is letting people come into the medium and just play with it, not expect to even keep what they make. That it's okay. If that pot doesn't make it to the end process, we recycle the clay. We don't throw it away. We wedge it up again and try another pot with it again in the future. And so getting people over that, that belief, the myth that every time they put pen to paper, that every time they touch the clay, that they have to make some sort of masterpiece that's going to be kept forever and that has to be great. That's an unrealistic expectation that most people have of themselves. Most artists that are really, really good are really good because they practice and they keep doing it over and over and over again, and they revisit the same themes and topics and techniques, so they master that. But they started out at one point, they sucked too, and they've made bad pieces, and even great artists still make bad pieces that they don't complete and aren't necessarily thinking this is a wonderful piece of artwork. Most artists, if you ask them, will say, oh, I've made some work I'm not real proud of or that I've recycled. And I think everybody, the non-artists out there, forget that it's a matter of practice and that anybody can do it if they just practice. And not everybody has to be a fabulous artist. You don't have to be good at it to do it. Anyone can play at being, you know, a mechanic, or anyone can practice the flute in their living room. It's not everybody has to be so good at it that they go out and perform in public, but it shouldn't stop you from playing with it and practicing it. Doing art on a regular basis is a way to get yourself away from a computer screen, away from a television screen, and it's almost meditation, meditative. It brings you into the right side of your brain, away from the analytical and language-based, science-based portion of your left brain. And it really allows you to slow down and to kind of rest and really relax and enjoy time and kind of lose yourself. It's a wonderful experience for most people. That a lot of gardeners get that when they're out in their garden. It's just a really nice way for people to reconnect with the real side of life rather than the technology side of life.
Oh, yeah. I always say this to people, too. If you get into, like, writing or any kind of artwork with the intent to make money, you're never going to make any money.
No.
But if you just get into it for the enjoyment of it, ironically, somewhere down the road, it pays off. With the different endeavors I have, I write quite a lot, and I would have to say that 90% of it never makes it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that 10%, that's... recognize it and you take it on to the next level.
Yeah.
So, you know, when, you know, a beginning artist or somebody just trying out pottery or painting, well, painting, for example,
mm-hmm.
I like painting. I enjoy painting, but it's not coming out of my house.
Yeah.
you know, it really just isn't, you know, and I'm fine with that, you know, because I have that moment of just like, okay, I'm just here doing this
mm-hmm.
and this is what I'm doing.
Exactly. I think too many people are afraid to try, and it just keeps people from even attempting it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've talked about the classes, and you know, the Paramount Visual Arts, they have these classes. They're regular. They're happening mm-hmm. all the time, year after year, season after season, I guess you could say. But then we've got these workshops, these special workshops that are being taught by artists who are not necessarily from our community, but from, you know, the area, I guess,
right.
or larger area. So how about you tell us about some of these workshops that are coming up?
Well, through the Minnesota State Arts Board, we have the Cultural Heritage Fund grant, and that's operating money for the Paramount. And we were asked to identify one special thing that we would do with the additional funds. And what we've done is created a series of workshops that are bringing in statewide artists from out of our area, from outstate Minnesota, and bringing them in for these special workshops. Karen Kramers is going to be doing a Mahalika tiles workshop. And Mahalika is a tin glaze that you paint on. And you get really bright colors, and it's kind of it's painting on clay, but a lot of people use it on coffee mugs. She's going to demonstrate and have the process, show us the process on tiles. But she does backsplashes and a lot of different things. So that's a really special workshop that's coming up October 16th from 10 to 4. And then we have a glass-on-glass mosaic workshop. Cheryl Terilia is from Minneapolis, and she does these amazing mosaic glass pieces for hanging in the windows. And she has been... she's in the Minneapolis area and has a studio in the Northrop King building. She's just amazing. And that one's coming up October 23rd and 24th. We have a one-day figurative workshop with Susan Beckman, who teaches at MCAD. And from she's been brought to us by request of a lot of my local painters. They say she's one of the best figurative instructors out there, and they take a lot of classes, so she comes very highly recommended by a bunch of the local artists. Mm-hmm. And so she teaches at MCAD, and she teaches life drawing, art anatomy, and portrait, and she is one of the finest instructors out there. And we're bringing her in October 16th from 10 to 4. And then we have a local potter, Linda Christensen. She is from Lindstrom, Minnesota, and she's part of this group that does the pottery tour in the spring every year. She goes nationally and teaches workshops all over the place, and she's very highly respected in the potter's world. And she's going to be coming in January 8th and doing a full-day workshop and demonstration. So it's nice that we're able to now, this is catering more towards people with some art background. So if you've had art classes either at the Paramount, or if you've had art classes maybe in college or in high school, or if you've been an artist in your studio just creating on your own, these are really geared towards people with a little bit of background in the medium.
All sorts of interesting, fun things coming up at the Paramount Visual Arts Center this year. So for people who want to get involved, we've got a couple of different ways to do that. One is they can just stop down on a Thursday night
mm-hmm.
for open studio and teen night, and that's pretty inexpensive. Or they can visit your website at www.paramountarts.org and see what's going on there, and that gives you access to everything going on in that big building.
Yeah.
And then, or you could give you a call at 320-257-5928 and see what's going on from there. Now, you guys, there are two more things that we're going to chat about. One is just the different passes for classes and studios.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work, the different passes? That sounds like it could be a good gift certificate for somebody, or, you know, a nice stocking stuffer maybe. That time of year is coming up.
So, yeah.
What do those do for folks?
Well, the studio passes are designed for people who have taken classes and are comfortable in our studios to work on their own. And a pass is $40 for a month, and that's unlimited access. We're open from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturdays. So we have a lot of people that get a studio pass just to be able to come in and use the facilities and the equipment that we have.
And then also there's this new group that has started up as well, the Responding to Art group, which can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. We've found that there's a lot of artists that are creating in their studio that need some feedback on what they're making, you know. And so we've got a group that started up called Responding to Art, and it's with Ann Meyer. And people can bring a piece of artwork that's either in progress or that's finished and enjoy a monthly critique, a friendly critique. And we'll be using a critical response and reflective protocols that we've learned through the Purpich Center. We do a lot of partnering with them. And so we'll be using the reflective protocols to do a critique on work. Whoever wants to come can just stop in. It's the third Monday of the month from 7 to 9 starting in October. And that's going to be with Anne. So Anne will be there to facilitate the conversation.
Nice. Give people an idea of, well, how do you look at a piece of art and, you know, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
Because the critique process is definitely... how do you share your experience of looking at somebody else's art? How do you share the experience of somebody looking at your art? You know, so
it's a chance to find out what other people see when they look at your pieces, which is quite enlightening most of the time. And Anne has certain protocols that she'll be following to do that, to make sure that it's a positive and productive conversation, and that people will learn how to also critique their own work. There are certain questions that you can ask yourself as you're making the piece, and that kind of they'll learn that process on how to critique their own work in between. But getting that group feedback is really valuable.
Nice. Well, I think we hit just about on everything here. Was there anything else you'd like to bring up or plug about the Paramount Visual Arts Center?
It's nice if people check it out and take advantage of this really amazing facility and opportunity that we have in St. Cloud. Not that many communities have pottery studios and facilities like we have at the Paramount available to them. And so I know growing up in St. Cloud myself that we didn't have anything like this. And it really adds a lot to our community, and it's a great resource. We've got just a fun group of people that kind of call it home. And it would be wonderful if everybody that had any interest in it would come and check it out. I'm always disappointed when I talk to people and they say, oh, I didn't know there was a visual arts center here. And my goal is to try and make people more aware that they have this resource, and the city of St. Cloud owns our facility and the equipment, and they're making that available. So, you know, it's a wonderful resource that our city council has made available to us, and our mayor supports, and a lot of people, 80,000 people a year come through our doors and utilize those facilities. And so I just want to make sure everybody else that's not coming knows about it and comes down and checks it out.
And yeah, it's like I said, it is just, you know, have that courage to walk into the studio space and just see what's going on. And also there is one more opportunity this year to see the art that is produced there. That would be the last art crawl coming up in November, November 19th. Well, can you tell us a little bit about what happened the last art crawl?
Yeah. Well, for the art crawls, we kind of do an open house situation where we have artists demonstrating in the studios, and we open the doors up. Anybody can come in and talk to the instructors and see what's going on and even get their hands dirty if they want to. November 19th is the last one for this season. We'll have another one coming up in March and in June, but
just not when it's snowing.
Yes. It's a great The art crawls are a wonderful opportunity to see a lot of art in one night. It's fun. Everybody just wanders around and has a good time. And I would encourage everybody this November 19th to buy at least one Christmas present at the art crawl. Original artwork makes the best gift. The only thing better than making it yourself for somebody and giving it to them is buying other original artwork and giving it to somebody.
Either way, there you go. The Paramount Visual Arts can help you with that. Either,
yeah.
You know, buying somebody else's art or teaching you how to make good art yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sitting down with me today, Melissa.
Oh, thanks for letting me come in, Jeff.
And once again, for more information on the Paramount Visual Arts Center, you can visit their website at www.paramountarts.org or link to it from our website at kvsc.org. Or you can stop down to the Paramount for Open Studio and Teen Night every Thursday throughout the school year from 6 to 9 p.m. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News. And funding for this report has been made possible through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced by 88.1 FM KVSC, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.